Our community connection takes us to the Lehigh Valley, where Bloom, a unique nonprofit for trafficked women, brings help, hope, and healing. CEO Carol Anderson takes the story from here.
I was a foster parent for Northampton County Children and Youth, and through that experience, interacted with several women who were experiencing trafficking in the Lehigh Valley. And their experience as a prostituted individual led me to asking a lot of questions in my community as to why there weren't opportunities for them to choose differently. And I learned that it was a lack of choice, that there weren't other options for them, and they were choosing survival. And ultimately led to me learning about a program in Nashville, where I went to a conference there in 2014, and I went with a friend. And we were there thinking, as we were being just inspired by the women we met that had been through the program and were then building the program, and they said, we'll teach you how to bring this to your home community. They invited us to become a sister program of Thistle Farms. There were seven others in the country that opened similar programs following the same model. We were number eight, the first in Pennsylvania in 2015, and opened our home shortly thereafter. And now I think there's probably close to 75 programs around the country operating the same unique approach to helping women find freedom.
Help, heal, and hope. So let's talk about the help. What does Bloom do for women?
We provide sanctuary and a continuum of care to heal, empower, and employ survivors of sex trafficking and commercial sexual exploitation. And we do this in a variety of ways. One, it's very important to us to offer safe and free housing and safety. So for up to 2 years, a woman can come to Bloom and live and restart her life. There's a lot of work, counseling, access to medical care, workforce development. We do a lot of training and helping identify what can be next. And we also offer employment.
That is an amazing initiative. So approximately how many of the Bloom participants are employed by the agency?
We employ 100% of those that are with us right now. That was not something we've ever been able to do before, but through several workforce development initiatives, we've now been able to fully employ anyone who comes to us. I think a safe job is definitely one of the significant pathways to finding independence.
Vicki, we're going to turn to you right now, and I just wanted to ask, as the Director of Development at Bloom, what are some of the creative strategies you have to keep these really unique programs happening at your agency?
In development, you are always thinking about ways to fund the kind of programming that we want to make sure that the women who come into our program are able to participate in. We were able to make some headway was our relationship with United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley. We began to meet with the CEO and some of the community impact folks. And then we had a major donor who asked us all to get together and to begin to dream about what we could do that would help the ladies that we are serving. And so we came up with the idea of working together with PA211, which is the call center for people who are in need of resources in the community. Because United Way is such a great community partner, we were looking to talk with our legislators. We're going to receive a couple of years programming through the state, and it's going to actually double the amount of women that we will be able to help.
Ashley, you've gone through the Bloom program, and you're actually working there now, so I want you to tell us about your experience.
I came to Bloom in 2017, and I stayed there until 2019, and Bloom hired me in December of 2017 in the art studio, part-time, and I just stayed, and my confidence has grown immensely. I've gone from an associate position to now a director in the organization, and I've worked in multiple areas. So I've been afforded the opportunity to learn so much, and just really gain the confidence and the skills that I need to succeed.
First of all, I'm very, very proud of that achievement. But secondly, I'm amazed that you're able to speak with such confidence, knowing that there was another person prior to who I'm seeing right now. Where did that other person go?
You know, I think she just came out greater. You know, I think I'm always who I was, just with a little bit of a different mindset and a trust in God and a trust in people that wasn't there before. Great relationships with my family. You know, I just feel like everything has improved. I'm still me, but in a completely different mindset.
I don't want you to go back to the hard and horrific times, but while you were going through the program, mm-hmm. did you feel, did you sense, did you know that there was going to be a positive change afterward?
No. I went to Bloom as a last-ditch effort because I was afraid I was going to die, and Bloom moved me in within a week. And that was after I had turned the program down 3 months before. I was interviewed, and I decided 2 years was too long, and I wanted to get back to working and figuring life out. Well, it didn't work out, and I probably would have died had I not reached out. And thankfully, they brought me in a week, and I didn't know what to expect at all. And it probably took a little bit of time for me to open up, but I was met with such loving women, like in the house, even the women that were running the program, the community that was there. At first, no, I didn't really have any hope. But the longer I stayed, and speaking of like workforce development, I always say a huge turning point was when Carol handed me the keys to the studio. Because I was working there and I was like, oh my God, somebody trusts me. You know, I get to be accountable. So that was a huge turning point.
I understand that there is the art studio. You're a very creative person. What was the kind of art that you did while you were going through all of the help and healing and hope? What was some of the artwork that you did? Do you remember?
Yeah, well, we had some life coaching, like art journaling sessions. But personally, I worked a lot on like graphic design. We did stenciling for signs. So we would paint words or images onto wooden signs that people could buy and put in their home, give as gifts. They could come in and create their own. But I was behind the computer creating the designs. I wouldn't say I'm a creative person. That stretched me a little bit. But it was beautiful because I just got to express myself, you know, and help others express theirs.
Again, as you were going through everything that you had to go through, when did you start to feel that sense of coming back to a new you?
It took a while, I think, you know, because you carry that trauma. Even though you're not in it, there are triggers. It could be a smell, a song, a word, and you go right back to that. You know, it took a lot of counseling, humility, being very honest with people about things that triggered me. Just took me back to a time where I felt less than and unworthy.
Carol, when you saw Ashley and you started to work with her, everybody is on a per case basis, but how was she guided into the program?
So we really walk alongside those that come to us, and the women participants that come to our program, they are the ones doing the hard work. And we, as staff, really get to watch a beautiful story unfold. And it inspires me every day to keep going. I have often said this, but I will say it over and over again. Those that I serve at Bloom are some of the strongest, most resilient women I've ever met. And they have taught me so much about living, loving, forgiveness. When we do think about the unique struggles that women go through and are faced with, it's just really something amazing to watch them bloom. I think that's why we love the name, because it really speaks into what occurs when someone is given safety. And, you know, if you compare it to the plant cycle, you know, if you're given soil that is filled with nutrients and you're watered and you can grow at your own pace, it's like a beautiful garden. And that's what I think we experience in our program. It is an individualized approach, But the same opportunities are given to everyone. Safety, the opportunity to heal. We have created several unique pathways to economic mobility. They require more work, but the more I think that we do this, we learn what works and what doesn't work. We talk a lot about work, about power differential, and how important it is to share power and to ensure that individual autonomy remains and that people, you know, are given freedom to grow and learn and start over in ways that are beautiful, creative, and can be celebrated.
Ashley, I'd like to get back to you, if I may. You were not placed in a shelter. You were placed in a house.
Mm-hmm.
So did you anticipate moving into a comfortable house setting?
I think that was put on the table when I interviewed as far as what I was moving into. I wasn't prepared for the women that were in the house already. We had 8 in the house at that time, and I think I was the 8th one to move in at that time. So I was new, and it was a lot of different personalities. Also, on my first day there, I moved in on a Friday, and I was told, okay, don't unpack, you're going on a retreat. So I went on a retreat with the women in the house for the weekend, whom I didn't know. I didn't know anybody at the retreat. But, you know, looking back, it was such a beautiful experience because it wasn't like I was moving into their space. It was like, here I am, we're going to go spend a weekend together somewhere else and get to know each other and come back as like a family. And that's exactly what happened.
What was that retreat like? What did you do on that retreat?
It was recovery based. We heard from speakers. I think there was like a nature walk. There was some arts. It was a very meditative, relaxing retreat for women. It was called Serenity Sisters, and it was in the Poconos.
As the days are going by and you realize now that you've got a job that you have to go to, you've got responsibility now with regard to the nonprofit that's helped you out. What would you like to give back to them?
I like to financially give, but also I think just my dedication, like my loyalty, my time, my attention. You know, I think one of the best things we can give to people is our attention, intentionally. I love to talk to the women that come through the program. We have some of them working out of the office, and a couple of them have told me, like, I'm so grateful you're here because I know this is possible. And so that's really important at Bloom, that we do have women who have been through the program on staff, because everybody needs that little bit of hope.
So in case you're having a bad day, a hard day, they understand, they know exactly where you're coming from.
Sure. And vice versa. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not only working there, but you're also bolstering each other up. You're giving each other courage.
Yeah. All of us. All of us.
That's very important, is to know that we're here to help one another and cheer each other on and get excited at the successes, the applying for school, attending classes, getting really good grades. Some of them, you know, eventually graduate. They fall in love. They get married. So many different things that are worth celebrating. We all have the opportunity to write the next chapter. Trafficking is a horrific injustice. It is uncomfortable for some people to talk about, especially in our society when sexual violence remains in the news. And over again, those that share their stories are often shamed and not believed. We can invite survivors to share their story with courage, recognize their strength and resilience. And I think as leaders and as communities, we can make room, become much more inclusive around this topic. I think it's time. And I think it is going to change us. The fact that we live in a society that buys and sells women as people to be used rather than listened to and understood and given the opportunity.
And honored.
These are things that we can change if we make space for these conversations and to recognize that we can do things differently.
Ashley, I need to ask you what you feel now is your strongest point? Now that you've gone through this program, you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, these are my strengths.
We actually did a strengths assessment, like as a team, a team workshop, and responsibility was my number one strength. I am very responsible. I'm analytical. I'm kind. I think gaining confidence has allowed me to sugarcoat less and be direct, because that's how I want people to be with me. And that's new. That's new for me. And I was afforded the opportunity to move into a position at Bloom that wasn't in residential. It was more administrative. And I switched my major to business administration, and I will have my bachelor's in May. And then I'll go right into my master's, because I found I've loved this, like the business side of things. And I like to make it known that, because there are some of us who feel like we're not contributing because we're not in direct care, but we are, because we're the back end. We're the ones keeping the lights on. We're the ones cheering them on from afar if we don't get to be with them face to face. And it's showing other women that come through the program, just because you went through the program doesn't mean you have to be in a direct care role to help. That's really important.
Another question I need to ask, and it's a kind of sensitive question too, that when someone new comes to Bloom, you can recognize what she is going through because you went basically through the same thing. Does that ever trigger you in any way, shape, or form, or are you strong enough to say, okay, I've overcome this, and so will she. It's just that it's going to take time.
While I feel that the emotions are the same, the situations are typically different. Don't want to say I never get triggered anymore. There are certain things, but I've definitely healed in a lot of areas and can maybe offer a different perspective on something they're going through.
Now, I have been speaking with the executive director and the development director about the organization in and of itself. You are a product of the graduating class of the organization. Mm-hmm. You've elevated yourself to a position that you're now part of this organization. So how do you feel you have grown, and what more would you like to pursue?
I'm very grateful for my growth and the trajectory that my life has gone, but I couldn't have done it by myself. Carol really created something beautiful here, and it's important to protect that. And having been with Bloom since 2017, I've really watched the evolution of it, but we were just talking this morning about making sure that the roots and the beliefs that started this program remain.
Carol, unfortunately, we're hearing more and more stories about trafficking in Pennsylvania. It's been happening for a while, hasn't it?
Pennsylvania typically ranks anywhere from like 9th to 11th in the country for the number of reported trafficking cases to the National Human Trafficking Hotline. Some people aren't even aware that the hotline exists. We believe it's very important to educate our community. People do need to be aware. How can we influence prevention activities to go on in our school systems and in our spheres of influence? You know, these are important things for people to be aware of.
Another really special part of the awareness of the Bloom program is something that you do around a table where you gather all of the girls and you light a candle and you read something to them. I was wondering if you might be able to share that with us, and afterward, tell us why you've chosen that particular passage.
Absolutely. So we have in our residential program what we call a morning circle, and it is a time where the community can come together and we light a candle. We gather together at a certain time, multiple times per week. We light a candle and we recite this reading. We light the candle for the woman still suffering out on the street and searching for a way home. We light the candle for the baby born into addiction without a choice in the matter. We light the candle for the woman looking to find a path through the darkest night. I think it's a time that grounds us in our work and what's important, especially as we know our work is not just collectively getting together and healing together. It is always trying to create a pathway for that woman who is waiting for someone to show her the way out of a very dark situation. And we want to be there. And I think that lighting the candle and reading this poem, having this time together as a community and continuing to come back to that time and time again, I've been lighting it for at least 12 years now. And I love the experience of it. And I hope to do it for many years to come. And I hope that we continue to do it, Bloom, because it works.
Ashley, when you hear that reading, how does that resonate with you?
It's nostalgic because I sat through many circles when I lived in the house. When I was there, we had circle every day. It really was a great time for us to get together, talk about what we were feeling, how we related to the reading, what was going on in the house, where it felt more like a family and intentionally being together rather than strangers just living in this house and passing through the night.
How did your family react when they saw this amazing change in you because of this program?
My family's been there through everything. I think they're just grateful that they don't have to worry anymore. They spent many years worrying if I was alive or dead. So it feels good going from feeling like a burden to a family member that they want at the family reunion. It feels good.
A creative and soul-searching approach to help women regain their independence and dignity. Special thanks to the amazing women of Bloom, CEO Carol Anderson, Director of Development Vicki Nisbet, and Director of Operations Ashley Caravello. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.